Hey, welcome to Resonate's Sermon Q&A podcast. We are so thankful for the questions that have been submitted, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our time together. Now, let's begin the show.
Hey, welcome to the Summer Q&A podcast. We are coming to an end of the summer, and this is actually our last Sermon Q&A podcast. So I'm glad you guys are joining us today. Thanks for being a part with us all summer long and for sharing this. I know the podcast will continue to be up, even though we will not be doing repeats now. We're moving into the fall, and then we have a different sermon series planned. So, but it's been a great summer. And before we jump into the questions for today, I'm Jim. I'm the XP at Resonate, which means I'm the executive pastor. And this is...
I'm Yvonne. I'm the minister of equipping here.
And she's been faithful all summer long on this podcast. Thank you, Yvonne.
Let's go, Yvonne. Hey, everybody. It's John here. I am the online campus director and the mission director here at Resonate.
Yeah.
Will Medell, pastor of campus in Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward campus.
Hayward.
What are you excited about in Hayward right now, Pastor Will?
We're getting ready for Unwrapped already, man.
What is Unwrapped? Tell our listeners what is Unwrapped.
Yeah. Set you Unwrapped up. It's a cool ministry that we do. We invite homeless families and refugee families into our building. We set up a shop where they can come and purchase gifts at a very, very, very discounted price. It tries to give them dignity. It's not just a handout. It's an opportunity for them to, if they're able to, purchase gifts for their children. Mm-hmm. And we walk alongside them. And we've had some great ministry partners for about 10 years. We've been in the area for 8 years. We're celebrating 8 years.
Yes.
A few more weeks. And some of these partners we've had since we got there, which is great. It's just a good time. And the whole church comes out. And usually it's somewhere between... I don't know, 40, 50 families, but I think this year we're trying to hit 75 to 100. So,
heck yeah. Hey, yeah. Go check out Unwrapped if you are in Hayward, because I have been there and this thing is awesome. I've seen so many families blessed just from my few times being able to be there, and I just want to get another little like bump of momentum in that direction, whatever we can do, man.
Yeah. We got people that don't live in the area, they come back just for Unwrapped. It's kind of crazy.
Heck yeah.
So great. Well, I would encourage you to go to the Hayward campus for whatever reason, because it's fantastic up there.
We love it.
Great hospitality. Great campus pastor up there.
He's all right.
He's all right.
More than I.
Well, hey, this sermon was titled Unacceptable Doubt, and it was addressing the issue of doubt in our minds when we're mindful, when our minds are full of something. So I wonder, as we get started on our podcast today, like, what did you guys get out of this sermon? What surprised you? What was different than expected? And how did God speak to you guys?
Yeah, I think I just appreciated from the top Pastor Ed's definition of wisdom, that it's just God's unique will for specific life circumstances. And just appreciating in general when we just put some definition to something for us to work off of in a sermon. Because wisdom is one of those things that we know is good, and God says a lot of good stuff about wisdom. But then, what actually is it? So that was really helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I echo what you said, Yvonne. I just love when things are brought down and simplified. And I think it was really beautiful the way that he did it too, like bringing in brothers and sisters and their perspectives in what it is that they had understood wisdom to mean, and then giving us like a bite-sized opportunity to digest something that is often seems like it's overwhelming or feels like it's complicated. I just love it's every single unique situation. Like, God knows exactly what we need and what is best for every single thing in our life, no matter how big, no matter how small. And I love that too.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is from verse 5, where he says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, James 1, verse 5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach. And, you know, Pastor Edward was talking about, you go to Panda Express and you ask for a little bit more of the orange chicken, you're going to get some reproach. Like, you're either going to get, if you pay for another scoop, or I guess so, you know, something like that. And man, God's never going to be like, I guess so. You know, if one of my kids asks for something in regards to wisdom, I'm going to shower them with all the wisdom they can handle. And just knowing that that's who our God is. The obvious tie to that is the gospel, right? Because of who I am in Christ, not because of I am Will Medell, campus pastor. It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with who Christ is in me. Mm-hmm. And so, just the way that Pastor Edward tied the gospel into it, and just bringing out some of the beauty of this passage, because I'm drawn to the failure in my life, never the goodness of my life. And so I just thought he brought so much beauty into this passage. I want to be drawn to all my failure. And he's like, no, look at how much God's for you. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a really good message.
Yeah, I love that. There was a part where Edward was talking about what do we do instead of ask for wisdom.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a true Edward fashion, he gave us the four R's, you know, because he loves alliteration. So
he's a pastor.
He said, "When we don't ask for wisdom, but we ask for rescue, for resources, and removal." Mm. So rescue from the situation, we ask for resources, you know, like money or whatever, and then we ask God to remove us from that situation. And he said, but what we really need is revelation, and right. That's wisdom. Good. And I thought that was great. I love that. And then I think the other great thing was that generous to all. I love being in the room because I felt like he had all of us.
No doubt.
I was in Fremont this past weekend, and just people were tracking with the Panda Express.
And the five guys.
Yeah. The five guys.
Screaming at five guys.
Yeah.
Great analogy.
He's like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Five guys, you owe us money this week, man.
Yeah, I love it.
One thing that I was thinking just while you were speaking, Will, in that James chapter 1, 5-6 passage, I think that this is one of those places in Scripture where so often we are tempted to let the but statement dominate mm-hmm. everything that we think. Mm-hmm. And I think the enemy loves that mm-hmm. because he then gets to point us to something in the Bible to take us the completely wrong way.
Right.
Like verse 5, which you just read, that can be a standalone. Like it can. It doesn't need to be but, and then we just like, you know, criticize ourselves into the ground for the asterisks or whatever, you know, we interpret them to be. But like 5 is a standalone. Like yeah. God will give wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom more than we want wisdom.
That's right. That's good.
Yeah. It's probably one of the more beautiful things in Scripture that God's just like, apart from you, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good. Just his kindness to us. And that is amazing. So I do have a really good theological question though. Do you guys, when you go to Five Guys, do you actually put vinegar on your chips?
What's vinegar again? And what are chips?
Malt vinegar on your French fries?
Ew. I don't do that.
You don't do that?
No.
I didn't know it was an option, but I'll try it.
Very British thing to put malt vinegar on your fish and chips.
I do that when I eat fish and chips, but I will not do that at Five Guys.
Man, at Five Guys, they have bottles of malt vinegar, and that's what keeps me going back. So I love it. So anyway, the theological question. So it's good. It's good. All right. Well, we got several questions. We got a total of 20 questions this past week. And so super thankful for all of you that participated in our Slido this past week. And many of you voted up so many of these questions. So, hey, you guys ready to jump into the questions?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Love it. Okay. So here's number one. What does it look like to receive wisdom from God? Will a thought or a verse pop into my mind? Will God send someone to speak into it? Or is it more mysterious? What a great question.
It is a great question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, that's so good. This is one of the times where I feel led to chime in and just maybe obnoxiously, but also I hope in respect to the diversity of the generosity of God and the ways that he gives us wisdom, just answer yes. Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will speak to you. And the thing is, I think we all spend our lives trying to better understand, to hear that sometimes still small voice, like, Holy Spirit, is this you? Is this you bumping me? Is this you nudging me? And I think I've experienced everything that you said, Mike. I've experienced a sentiment. I've experienced a verse. I've experienced someone else bumping me. I think that's a really, really big one that's fantastic, is when the Lord just sends someone else who's a member of the church to corroborate what it is that you feel like you're understanding. That's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else got?
Yeah, I think that I believe that God gives me everything that I need. And so whenever I need wisdom, he gives it to me. Whenever I ask for wisdom, he is giving it to me. I don't always hear it right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think I hear it right. And then I look back and it's like, oh, I don't think maybe I did. And so I agree. Like sometimes it is a verse that pops into my mind. Sometimes it is someone who speaks in, and I think a lot of times it is like more mysterious, but somehow as I've walked with the Lord longer and just been in Scripture and understand what his voice and therefore his wisdom even sounds like, then it becomes a little, it's still mysterious, but I also become more certain about when I am hearing his wisdom.
Mm. Yeah. I think one of the things for me is You know, when I was younger, I used to doubt God's voice a lot in my life. But this is like what you said earlier, John. This is one of those verses where God gives this to us without finding fault, which means he's going to follow through with it.
Right.
And so, you know, I actually love just to listen to the very next thing after, you know, the wisdom's given and see what God says, because he says he's going to give it to us. And, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, even secular psychologists would say, if you follow your gut, you're probably going to do better. You know, and I remember when I was taking my, you know, driver's test and I was asking God for wisdom and, you know, I was like, you know, I went back and changed some of the answers, and the lady who was grading it, she was like, you know, because that was long before the computers, but they were like, if you hadn't changed your answers, you would have been fine, you know, and because I doubted my gut in that situation. But I wonder, you know, Mike has a follow-up question to this that I think goes really well with this, which is, how do we test and discern what is wisdom from God versus my own thoughts disconnected from God, or even worse, whispers from the enemy? And so it's interesting to say, yeah, trust your gut. Like when you pray and ask for wisdom, trust that God's going to speak. But then, you know, are there times where you're like, that was from somewhere else? You know, that wasn't exactly from the Lord. So how do you do that, Will?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I pulled up Proverbs, and I'm doing that on purpose because a good friend of mine said I need to read the Proverbs. He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
This is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, trust God with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. What you don't know probably is that word trust is actually still, it's actually like lean on God. That trust word is like a leaning verb, like lean on him, don't lean on yourself. So it's kind of like a double meaning there. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll straighten your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and retreat from evil. And the reason why I bring that up is because we prayed for wisdom, right? And so you think God's going to give it to you. And yes, he will, because he's generous, but don't be wise in your own eyes. So check it with scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really important, because a lot of times we think that we're right. I, as a pastor, often think that I have the right thing because I just have a very fast CPU. I just think quick on my feet. And that is a blessing, and it's also a curse, because sometimes if I don't stop and check with scripture, check with the Proverbs specifically, check with some wise counsel, that would be the other thing that I would say is, you know, who's in your small group? Who's somebody in your life that can look you in the eye and say, give you some kind candor and say, man, you really do this poorly, and listen to that person, you know, that's going to help you make wise choices. I think those are important things. So God provides scripture. God provides brothers and sisters in Christ that love you, that are going to help you set some boundaries in some places you should not make decisions. I think those are some ways that God provides some good guardrails for us.
Yeah.
And I think you're getting at something, that asking God for wisdom and listening and checking for scripture, all of that, it takes time.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times when I need a last minute, and then all of a sudden I'm like consulting God, like, God, call, like, help me call this audible right now. And that is more, that's closer. That's not actually asking for wisdom. That's asking for rescue, you know? And I think that a lot of times there have been times where I've been mad because God didn't answer my very last minute thing.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really asking for rescue, not for wisdom.
And your lack of planning is not God's emergency.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, even before the podcast started today, John prayed for us. We make it a habit just to, you know, pray, because we're not, you know, when we're answering these questions, we haven't read through all the questions.
Yep.
We haven't spent a bunch of time studying them. We want to be kind of green to these questions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we did, you know, just stop and pray and ask for wisdom, and did expect God to rescue us in the moment.
Right.
That's a great point. But also the flip side of that, no, you're making a great point. And I know that Yvonne's a woman of the word.
Yeah.
I know that Yvonne knows scripture. I know that John drips scripture. I know that Yvonne will tell me if I've got cheese and lettuce between my teeth. But she has kind candor, right? Like, I'm surrounded by you. You've punched me in the gut before in a loving way, right? So those are the things that, so we're not just doing emergency stuff here. Like, we've set our, as a church, we're doing our job.
Yeah.
Living.
That's such a good point. I mean, there's four of us on this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's not just one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and we're willing to disagree with one another.
Yeah. But I mean, I think at the same time, like, when I'm having a conversation with my wife, I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom how to respond. Or when
I'm not getting involved in,
you know, talking to my kids, like, you know, just having conversations with them in the car or something. I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely, you know, believing that he's going to.
Absolutely. No question about that. No pushback on that one.
Yeah. I think wisdom is more a long game than an immediate, but we do see the immediate on the way to long game wisdom.
I think just what's coming to mind for me as you guys share is just back to the specifically to the question of like, how do we test and discern? We started in the exact right place. We started in the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
What has God said? What has God said in Scripture? I mean, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, right? The fall of humanity started from Eve, Adam, when they were approached by the enemy, not having that like moment, that pause, like, well, what did God actually say?
God really said.
Can you imagine if they would have just been like, that's nice, serpent, but what did he actually say again? And then go ask and then check in with him. And phenomenally, the best way, and it's beautiful because he gives it to us in the Bible, is that is the bedrock. We have the resources to be able to go and ask. And we shouldn't skimp on, you know, not doing our research, not doing our due diligence, but to the point of taking an audible. Just to share out of my own life, one thing that I feel like the Lord has taught me is to examine the question, does this look and feel like Jesus?
I like that.
Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within me. I know him. He's my friend. And there's a lot of stuff that comes into my own head that does not look or sound like him. It sounds like me.
Good.
Yeah, that drowning voice.
I like that.
Well, I also love that idea that sometimes, you know, wisdom is going to be proved right over a multitude of counselors, over a multitude of time, you know. And so, you know, sometimes I think it might be best to say, yeah, I think this is wisdom from the Lord, but let's take time to really discern that. Let's take time to think about it. And, you know, sometimes I think when God gives us wisdom, you know, we think that our lives are going to get easier and they actually get harder. And yet that's exactly what God had in mind, right? And so, you know, wisdom doesn't always bring us to the most comfortable place, you know, because like what Pastor Edward said on Sunday was, if you look at the outcome of wisdom, the crown of wisdom is that it's going to develop your faith. It's going to test your faith.
Right.
It's going to, you know, so sometimes I think, you know, if we look at life and we think, well, if God really gave me wisdom, I'd be wealthier, I'd be healthier, I'd be in better relationships, I'd be more, and it's like, well, maybe, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he's actually doing something where he's establishing character within you, not wealth outside of you.
Right.
You know, and so that's just an interesting thought of how to test and discern that might not be in our purview. So,
yeah we're just going to add on to that, it's important to remember that God is not in the making you happy game. He has greater interests for you in mind. He has greater interests for his world in mind than for you to get everything that you want. And that's actually a really beautiful thing, but it does take wisdom to be able to understand how, look, sometimes I need to look at things and I say, oh, yeah, Lord, this is discipline.
Yeah.
This is discipline
because
that's what I actually needed to be able to come around to understand your character better.
Yeah, yeah. He actually does give you the desires of your heart, but he knows the superficial desires of your heart, he knows the true desires of your heart, and he cuts through those, right? So, you know, I love that verse in Psalms where he talks about that. Like, there in his presence, there's pleasures evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really is the goodness of our God. But he's like, but I'm not giving you the superficial thing on the surface. I'm gonna give you what is really best for you. You know, it's like if your child always wants to eat ice cream, and you're like, well, I'd love to do that too, but I'm going to destroy you if we do that. And, you know, and yet the true desires of that child's heart are, you know, to be a healthy individual, you know, and so the parent cuts through. So I love that. All right. So I'm going to move on to the next question. Is it a sin to doubt? Is it a sin to be a skeptic? And how do I know when doubting crosses the line into being sinful? Well, what a great question. I mean, this kind of just deals with the holistic idea of doubt and being mindful. Anyway, so someone want to pick it up?
I don't think sin is a doubt, and it's not a sin
switch it. You don't think doubt is a...
Sorry. Yep. I don't think doubt is a sin. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
and it's not a sin to be a skeptic. I think for me, the way that I discern whether I'm crossing the line into sin or not is, who am I doubting with? Hmm. And when
That's
I'm
a great question.
Doubting and my... And I'm doubting on the basis, even doubting God himself, but still doubting God with God, then I think that's within the purview of he's my good dad and he wants me to have the freedom to question with him. Mm. But when I try to doubt him without him, then that's where I'm getting into tricky territory.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I thought Pastor Ed Ward's illustration of seasickness was so helpful.
It was good.
Because...
Yeah. Yeah.
That illustrates where the problem is, because, you know, we'll read the passage and the problem is doubt. And that is a problem, right? At the end of the day, if we doubt so much, but the problem is that you're making yourself sick, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at God, you're looking at your problem, you're looking at God, and you're going back and forth and you're causing yourself to get sick instead of looking at your dad who loves you, right? That's the problem. It's not that God can't overcome that. He can overcome all things in Christ, right? But I love that Pastor Edward just made that so clear. It's like, man, but you're making yourself spiritually seasick. Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants to rescue you from.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not so much the sin that God can't overcome, because God can overcome any sin in Christ Jesus. He's done that through the cross. It's more like, man, your dad just wants you to be free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He wants you to live.
Yeah. So I think God actually gave us the ability to doubt. Hmm. Like, it's a really healthy thing, because there's so many heresies, there's so many false teachings out there that God actually gave us the gift of skepticism so that we could test things to see if they are right or not. So I love this question, because I do think it is necessity. Like, God gifted us to have a brain. But then I love what you're saying, Yvonne, really, like, if someone comes into my office as a pastor, or even just someone comes into my life as a friend, and they say, hey, I've been asking God about this, and, been praying for it, and been praying for wisdom, and they say, what do you think about it? And then I'm like, okay, well, let's ask for wisdom together, and then we have a conversation about it, and then there's an answer, either through God's word, or, you know, through us collectively, and I'm in agreement, and they're in agreement, and it's like, yeah, and then they say something like, but I'm still not sure. I'm like, oh, because that's where the seasickness starts, right?
Yeah,
it's like, well, sure. I don't know. I need like 10 more people to agree, or I need 10 more Bible verses to agree with me. And I'm like, oh man, just get on with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, cut to the chase. Let's go. Like, because then at that point, it's not wisdom that you're lacking anymore. There's fear. There's something else in your life that's driving, and that's going to be the course of that seasickness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a thought, kind of rolling it back again to what transpired in the garden. And if the serpent had introduced a twisted interpretation of what God said to Adam and Eve, and they were like, huh, is that really what God said? And then they went and talked to God. Well, they would have questioned what it was that was presented to them. But maybe the faulty point, and it's just because he is so good and his character is so good, is that they took that additional step and went to, does God really not want us to have this amazing thing? Is he really hiding the ball? And I think that if I were to try to answer that, is there a place where doubting can cross into being sinful? I'm hesitant to use that exact wording, in part because of how much I loved the analogy of the seasickness. And like, sin is something that corrupts us and makes us sick. Like, it's terrible. God does not want that for us. But maybe it would be something to the degree of, are you questioning the character of God and who he is? Because to your point, Yvonne, you can ask him if he's good. But if you accuse him, or you're like, oh, I think he's evil, then there's something that happens there. And a lot of this is just me being introspective too. Mm-hmm. And just like looking, when I've been in a doubtful place, when I start wagging the finger at God rather than asking him, there's something that changes. with him there.
It reminds me, John, of the passage in Matthew 7 where he says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much does your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And I think that's beautiful because our assumption as believers needs to be, my Father is good and he wants to speak to me.
Right.
But it takes a long time to learn that because we're so skeptical and cynical about the voices around us and the way that we've been done dirty.
That's right.
And that we're not expecting God to really take care of us. But he says it so clearly. He's like, hey, you are evil. And I know, like, I'm an evil dad. I mean, I try my best, but I know I've got all sorts of false motives and everything. But I still like to give good gifts to my children. But how much more so my Heavenly Father, who's perfect?
Mm. Yeah. And I want to reaffirm just me as a pastor that what Pastor Jim just said is true. Even though, I mean, I laughed at the passage he read because I knew what he was going to say as he was reading it, because I know that scripture. But the truth of that scripture is not sealed in my heart, meaning I don't believe that scripture. The way that, like, I know it, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Meaning I'm admitting to you, that those who are listening, that I, as a pastor, don't believe first that my dad is good in heaven. So I'm saying that out loud so that you can also agree with me that, like, maybe you don't think that your dad in heaven is good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's okay. We're there at the same point at the same time.
Yeah. And I think it's forming, like, what John was saying too, of like, it's forming the conclusion about God without God. Like, but yeah,
even my view of God.
Yeah. And it's okay to even doubt, and like, you're struggling with believing that passage that you're— I think that's such a common doubt that all Christians have of, like, God, are you really good? But when it's the forming that view without God of, like, God, you're not good, that's when, it's crossing into that territory.
Yeah. There's another question here that I think is kind of bleeds into everything that we've been talking about. This is, I don't doubt God's ability to give me wisdom, but I do doubt my ability to hear God's wisdom. What should I do? And I think the first two things that we've kind of been dancing around or saying straight out is, one, believe that God is a good God who loves to give good gifts to his children. And then believe that he is actually talking to us. Like, let's make those two assumptions that, you know, what you said earlier, John, about God actually wants us to know his truth more than we want to
it. Right.
Yep. Right. And so listening to that, like, just relaxing in that. And not doubting God's ability to give us wisdom. And then, yes, maybe doubting your own heart to hear the correct wisdom, but then using the resources he's given of community, of his word, of friendships, of the Holy Spirit to affirm. So, do you guys have any other?
There might be another assumption that you might need, and that's this. Like, maybe you need to rest assured that you are his child.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody hasn't explained the gospel to you, which is like, there's nothing that you could do to earn his love. There's nothing you can do to lose his love, that it's only because of what Jesus has done that he's adopted you as his child. And so you need to know that, hey, listen, again, I'm a pastor and I knew that passage that Pastor Jim was quoting, and that's not what makes me a Christian. And I didn't lose my salvation because I didn't believe that verse in my heart. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has adopted me as his
own. That's
right.
Only because of what he's done, only because God has chosen to bring me into his family, nothing else. There's nothing I've done. There's nothing I can do to lose salvation. And so I think that might be a place where you need to start, which is, you can trust that because God loves you, that he's going to open your heart to hear his voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yep.
And so you can rest assured that if you are his child, speak to you. You will hear his voice.
Yep.
Period.
It's great.
Yeah. And doing that in community is a great place to start learning how to hear his voice in community, because my sheep, it's plural, hear my voice.
Good.
You know, so
absolutely. Totally agree with that.
All right. So here's a really funny question, and I love it because it's kind of like, it's just interesting where the direction of all these questions come from. But why was Solomon considered the wisest person in the world when he had like 1,000 concubines? Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Did he have 1,000?
Probably more.
Was it really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Was that many?
Too many to count.
Yeah. That's right. Too many to count. So why is he the wisest person when he has this many?
Well, I would just love to take a stab at the question. Is it's important to look at the whole of Solomon's life, right? We know that Solomon was considered righteous when he asked God for wisdom to lead his people Israel. But Solomon didn't stay there. Solomon veered, his heart veered away from the Lord. He came into a place of pride and plenty where he stopped abiding with God.
Yeah, his wives actually led him away from the Lord.
That's right. That's right. So it's not
very wise, Solomon.
It's not so much like, instantaneously God gave Solomon this wisdom. And then he was like, the best idea is to have 1,000 concubines.
Yeah.
It didn't quite roll like that. I mean, we know that Solomon was a fantastic governor of God's people, but the heart is corrupt and wicked, and it will stray, and it will focus on the wrong things. And exactly what you said, Jim, those concubines were the people in Solomon's life, in large part, who led to his downfall.
Yeah. He would probably say, out of all the things that I did, that was probably the dumbest thing I did.
Yep.
And wishes that he could take that one back. But it doesn't cancel out the other wisdom that he had.
That's right.
You know, for us to, yeah.
So. Well, and I also think it's proof, like exactly what Will was saying, is we can't earn it. Mm. Like, God doesn't give wisdom because we did something right, because we only had one concubine or zero concubines. And so, yeah, I think Solomon was given wisdom. He asked for it, and boy, did he get some. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean then that with whatever wisdom he received, that he rightly applied it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He actually didn't. He didn't turn into Jesus in that moment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. He's still. Yeah. I bet all 1,000 of his concubines reminded him of his need for Jesus. So
yeah,
I'm sure. That's probably pretty helpful. All right. Next question is: does every Christian struggle with doubts, or is it just me?
I struggle with doubt. Man.
Every single one does.
Mm-hmm. I struggle with doubt. I can guarantee you every pastor I've met struggles with doubt. You're not alone. Join an MC September 15th, MC Expo on any campus.
Yep.
We're going to talk this term about vulnerability and how to apply the gospel to those areas where we're weak. It's not about posing like you're strong, because it's not about that. It's about applying the gospel to those places where we're weak. And so, yeah, if you struggle with doubt, you're in the right place. God uses our weakness to show how amazingly strong he is. So,
amen.
No, you're not alone.
Amen. Yeah, an example comes to mind from my own life. So there was a season not that long ago where I was having a nervous breakdown. And Pastor Ryan grabbed me and was walking me around the parking lot and trying to speak life and truth into me. And I just found coming out of my mouth at one point, like, I hate doubting. I hate that I doubt God's goodness so much. It's so painful to doubt that he is that good father, that he is that generous God who will take care of me in every circumstance. Like, I hate it. It sucks to be so filled with doubt. And I just remember, you know, Ryan speaking to me and just like the sweet way of like, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is horribly painful. It is so painful to doubt him when he is so good. We're not on the other side of that doubt yet, but we will be.
Yeah, well, do you guys think that God actually puts doubts in our head?
I'd like this question.
Does God give us doubts?
Does God give us doubts?
Yeah. What do you think, Yvonne?
I honestly am not sure. I just know that he gives me things that draw me closer to him. And so there has been doubt in my life that has drawn me closer to him. So it is possible that he gave those to me.
Yeah.
But it's also that I could have just been doubting that, and he didn't necessarily give that to me, but did he use that to draw me closer to him? Yes.
Well, I think the interesting inference in this question, does every Christian struggle with doubts, or is it just me, that they're inferring that doubting is actually a struggle, and it doesn't necessarily need to be. Like, it can actually be a good thing. Remember in the question that we answered before, which is doubt a sin? And we said, no, it's not a sin. And so sometimes I think God actually does make us question things. Like, I am so glad over this past season that God's made me question the evangelical church in the way that he has, you know? And so some things that I would have just taken by rote when I was younger, and I'm like, wait a second, that just doesn't sound right. And
like
and,
what?
No, I'm joking. Yeah. Well, hey, come join us in our citizen series because I think I think Pastor Ryan is going to talk about a lot of those things in our series throughout September. But those things actually have really helped me. And so, you know, like sometimes I think, why God, why are you making me struggle with these things? But in that wrestling, man, like you said, Yvonne, like you've just come to know him so much better. So I love it.
Yeah. If I was to take a stab at that question, I think it would be doubting of what? I think a broad brush approach maybe isn't the best approach to have, because do we know that God allows for doubts? Yes. Does he allow us to doubt and then reach wrong conclusions? Yes. Does he put doubts in our minds about something that we believe to be the status quo and that everybody around us believes to be the status quo, but it actually isn't his design and he is going to give us wisdom in that thing? Absolutely, yes. But I think that I would maybe contest that I don't expect that God directly gives us doubts about that point again, his character and who he is.
That's right.
That's the enemy's job. Right? That's our sinful nature's job.
Yeah.
He will allow it so that he can prove how good he is to us, but I don't, I think he doesn't work in that game.
No, I would totally agree with that. So, okay, here's another question. When going through circumstances, should we ask God for wisdom only, or wisdom plus resolution, plus provision, plus resources, etc.? So, what do you guys think?
I'm going to take a quick stab here and just say, I'll share with you, my friend, I was praying in the shower, like I often do, and I was thinking, am I screwing this up by not praying for wisdom? And I don't think that's the message that we were meant to get from Pastor Edward.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, dang it, I'm praying for help instead of wisdom, so I'm screwing this up. I think that we ask the Lord for what we need, and what Pastor Edward was advocating for is that sometimes we need wisdom, but we're not asking him for that. We're asking him for something else. And he wants to give us wisdom.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's, to me, when I read that question, I would just want to encourage the person of, I think it's more important to know that, like, what is God's posture toward you? He is generous. And so with that, ask in freedom. I don't think there's like a list of a should I ask for this? And should I ask for this? Should I ask for this? But God's like, dude, you're my child, like, bring it. Let's just talk. Let's be together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think we need to, I mean, just like you would with mom and dad when you were a kid, like, ask them for everything.
Yeah.
You know, and then trust the response that you get, and trust even more so with our Heavenly Father, because he's a good God who gives good gifts to his children, you know, just going back to that. So, all right, here's another, someone actually wrote BCT. That's their acronym in the question here. We ran into a tricky situation and did not know how to handle it properly. We prayed earnestly, and God revealed his timely answer through daily devotion. So praise the Lord. So I think somebody in our Slido was just saying, hey, I want to just say this stuff that Pastor Edward's actually talking about works, and it's good. So,
amen.
All right, here's another question. If wisdom is so important, why does God hide it so much? I can only get it by asking God. What do you think?
Will and I were talking about this question before we actually jumped on the microphones. And I think we came into some agreement that this might be the best question.
Of the summer.
Okay.
The hardest question.
It got zero votes, by the way.
Well, fair enough.
That's why it's the best.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I would say this. I think there's one misnomer. I think it's important to ask, why does God do things the way that he does? That's a fascinating question. But if there were a misnomer in this question, I think I would say, if I only got wisdom by asking God, I would never get wisdom. I did not ask for Jesus to save me. I did not do anything to elicit his grace and his kindness and forgiveness to me. He gave generously before I even thought to ask him. And so I think maybe it's a misnomer to say that he will not give wisdom unless we ask for it. I think to the contrary, he gives generously beyond what we would ever even consider to ask. But it is a great question. Like, why does God do things the way that he does? Why does he allow for me to doubt? Why do I have a lack of wisdom in the first place? Which maybe is more to the heart of the question.
Yeah, I mean, the word says he makes the rain shine on the evil and the good, mm-hmm. right? So, and then there is a concept in theology called general revelation, mm-hmm. where everybody gets to experience God's wisdom. So I don't think he necessarily hides wisdom from it. I think sometimes he makes us long for him more and to ask for it more, depending on the circumstances, so that he can draw us closer to him. And maybe that's what the question's getting at. But have you guys ever felt like God's hidden wisdom from you? Have you felt like that, Yvonne?
I honestly don't think I've had that very specific thought, but I can definitely relate to the sentiment. So I think this might relate. But last summer, I went to Japan, and there's this special farm in Hokkaido where you can get these ridiculously priced cantaloupe melons. And you can get like a $50 one. You can get a bite of like a $200 one. It's like, how good could this thing taste? And I'm not saying go to Japan and eat that, but that truly was the best cantaloupe I've had. But they don't sell it other places because it needs specific soil. It needs certain climate, only found in that region. And I really appreciate that, the purity of the source. And so I think when it comes to wisdom and like God's wisdom, I'm glad that he doesn't just hand it out cheaply to just any other person, that I could just get it from anywhere, because I want the person who is perfect to protect his wisdom. And that doesn't mean he's stingy with it. No, he's actually, he's generous with it. But yeah, like you can only get wisdom from asking God, but sometimes the way that you ask God is from being with his people, being in the word. Like he actually gives plenty of places where he'll give you wisdom.
Well, I think that might just be the wisest answer we heard on the podcast all day. What do you guys think?
I like it.
Well, it's pretty good.
Awesome. Let's go, Yvonne.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, you guys, we have come to the end of our time today. And so I just want to stop and just pause and say thanks to God for this entire, you know, just our last 42 minutes together, but for the whole season of just being able to answer these questions. And thanks so much to our listeners. And, you know, for the fact that you've shared this podcast with others as well. And, you know, we hope to do this again sometime. We hope to do a sermon Q&A and continue on. But I would love just to remind our listeners, you are welcome to ask a question at any time. Mm-hmm. Your missional community leaders, your apprentices, your campus pastors, the staff at Resonate, the elders, love to answer questions, love to pray for wisdom together, and love to, you know, just seek the Lord. So I would just encourage everyone, even if you haven't got your questions answered during this time, or you have a question later on that you're like, man, I wish the summer Q&A podcast was still around, Jesus is not going anywhere.
That's right.
And so you can keep on asking questions. So, hey, thanks for joining us. And come back and join us this week for our Citizens series. It's going to be amazing as we dive into the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world in this political season that is coming upon us. So invite some people to join us. We're going to have a great time together in Oakland, in Hayward, and in Fremont, and online.
Amen.
At all of our campuses. So more information, you can go to resonatemovement.org and find out everything. So, hey, thanks you guys for joining in this summer.
Bye forever.
Had fun. Yeah.
It was great. All right.
See you till 2025.
There we go. Take care, everyone.
That's a wrap. Thank you for hanging with us as we dive into these tough questions. We encourage you to share this podcast with those in your circles, and we encourage you to share with us any more questions that you might have. Thanks for being with us.